I'd like to welcome each of you this morning in the house of the Lord. We come truly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to open our service this morning by singing hymn number 7. And we want to thank Barb for sharing in her gift of music this morning. So, this is Barb. To use the call to worship this morning, and following this, then we will have our invocation. This is taken from Hosea 8:41-44. Behold, I say unto you that whosoever has heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets who have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believe the Lord would redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for a remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed, or they are the heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they whose sins he has borne. These are they for whom he has died, to redeem them from their transgressions. We will now have our invocation by our brother Bob.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we recognize your holiness. We recognize your closeness. And Father, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to enter our lives, enter our beings, in such a manner, Father, that as we have prepared to come this day to partake of your broken body and spilled blood, Father, we ask forgiveness for those sins in our lives. We ask that we might feel your spirit in such a manner that, Father, we're willing to make changes within our lives, even today. And so we continue to praise your name, Father. Recognize the mercy and grace that you extend unto your creation. And as we have several of us come from reunion, Father, we continue to praise your name for the blessings of that experience. And so as we enter into this service, Father, help us to focus on your Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and keep our eyes upon him, and wanting to respond to that sacrifice and to that love in a manner that's pleasing unto thee. And so we continue to pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to go before us, be our rearward, and all that is said and done this day bring honor and glory to you for your kingdom, for your Zion. And we offer this invocation in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll continue with hymn number 327. Here we have come, dear Lord, and if you'll turn to that, we'll be seated and we'll sing this hymn together. Like to share with you a scripture that comes from the Book of Mormon, and this is taken from chapter 16 of the Book of Alma, and we'd like to read these words. We come this morning because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and his concern for each one of us, that we may be brought into his presence through the partaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. As we shared in Sunday school this morning, that it's because of his broken body and spilt blood that we are sanctified, that we are forgiven, and that we come to be transformed into the being, into the people that he has called each of us to be. And so I'd like to share these words. I'm taking from the book of Alma, chapter 16. I'm going to begin with verse 227. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time, in the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I have said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we will not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Turning to the 11th chapter in the book of Corinthians, that Paul, as he wrote and as he talked with the Corinthians, he said these things. And this is Corinthians 11. And I'm starting with the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, to do in remembrance of me. For the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This ye do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord shall have his spirit to be with them. The Lord provided this opportunity for each of us to take upon his name. And as we take of the sacrament, that he has said that as we live his commandments and as we go forth and bear witness, that his Spirit will be with us. He calls us that we would be willing to let our lives be a living sacrifice, not just for ourselves, but for the world. For he says, as we give ourselves, that we will one day see his face and we'll rejoice in the blessings. We will see the fullness of truth that comes through his being. And so the Lord has provided these things that we might have life. And so as we take the bread this morning, and as we take the cup of wine, we know that they are symbolism of what the Lord did for us. But in that, he calls us to do that for humanity, for those outside the church, for those that need to hear the gospel. And so we pray this morning that our hearts would be turned to him, and that those things that seem to bring fear, sometimes anxiety, because we don't know what to say, that our faith would extend itself to that point, that we would be willing to exercise the gift that God has given each of us. And so this morning we're going to sing our next hymn as the bread and the wine and the sacrament table is prepared. And then we will have the blessings upon the bread, and we will serve the bread, and then the blessing upon the wine, and we'll serve the wine at that time.
The Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Is there anyone that needs non-gluten bread? Did anyone miss their portion of the bread? If not, we'll kneel and as Brother Val shares in the blessing upon the wine.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
Did anyone miss their portion of the wine? Our brother Bob Emmer will share in the offertory at this time. I'll read briefly from the 51st chapter, or from the 51st verse of Psalms. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Psalmist was a bit ahead of his time. He realized that there was something more, something higher than the physical sacrifices. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. He acknowledges the need for physical sacrifice also. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Brethren, come forward to accept your offerings. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to contribute toward the work of thy kingdom. We thank thee for being able to make an offering
We're thankful to be engaged in thy work here on earth. May thy will be done in these things, as in all things, we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We are so privileged to have Priest Brian Berg to be our speaker for this morning. We're grateful for his wife, Amy, and for their family for being here today. Brian is a new member, and yet we have known them now for quite a short period of time, but just have really appreciated his insight and his ministry. So we ask for him your prayers and kind attention at this time. Brian.
Good morning. I kind of joked with Val earlier this week about being on Sacrament Sunday and being able to get away with a short message, but we'll see where the Lord takes us. Opening scripture I'd like to bring is out of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and I think most of us know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I picked up this book a long time ago. All I can say is the Lord showed it to me and brought it to me, and I've used this many times in the past. And it's been a definite blessing for me. There's a lot of good historical facts in here, and I'd like to read a poem. I won't tell you who it's from right away. But I think we all can, maybe not to the extent that this man did, but we can all relate. It says, in evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight. And stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to change me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid, for I, the Lord, have slain? A second look he gave me, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that thou mightst live. Thus while his death my sins displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled, that I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I killed. A lot of people don't know who this is. This is John Newton. He was an 18th century writer. He wrote many books songs, including Amazing Grace. His mother taught him at a young age before she passed about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he turned from it. Became a slave, captain of a ship, and all the things that come with that. And yet he realized when the Lord saw fit to reach down and touch his life and his heart and show him his sins, and the price that had to be paid to redeem him and all of us, we put him there, not just him, all of us. And yet the Lord sees fit to smile upon us and love us and show us what we must do to follow him. And I want to share with you some scriptures that teach us what is his will for us. As a priest in the preparatory gospel, my job is to teach you the things that you need to do to move forward. Prepare your spiritual, physical lives for the spiritual things. And brothers and sisters, we are in the latter days. And those things of the Spirit are going to become so profound that if we are not ready, we will not understand them. We will not be prepared. And we will not be ready. So let's start with Hebrews in the 12th chapter. verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here it is. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame of it, the shame of our sins that he had to bear. And so should we despise those things in our life and take up our cross and follow him. And everybody, I hope you know what it means to take up your cross. Your burden to bear is to deny yourself of all ungodliness and every worldly lust. And that's a hard thing to do. But yet by grace, those places where we fall short are covered. And we move forward. And it not only says take up your cross, it says daily take it up. And that's hard to do. Man, we want so much, don't we? I often shared this with my family. The Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. What's it say? The next words. What do we teach our children on their birthday or Christmas or whatever? What do you want? What do you want? It's something that we've fallen short in. We shall not want. And if we want, it should be for the benefit of those round about us, right? It does say that if we desire riches, if we do it for the right reasons, they'll be given to us. Not only that, but the riches of eternity. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom God. And yet, he sent his son to give us even a mere glimpse of his love and power and majesty and might and glory so that we could see a fraction of what the kingdom's going to be like. He's given us some words in the scriptures that shows how beautiful it'll be. But I still think that it doesn't even scratch the surface. Anybody went to the Grand Canyon? If I try and tell you about the Grand Canyon and you've never been there, can I explain it? I can, but it's not going to express the vastness and the beauty and the majesty of it. And so it is with the kingdom. Let's go to Doctrine and Covenants 18. I'll try and move along of the things that Doctrine and Covenants 18, 2H and I. 18, 2H and I. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, it doesn't say some, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they will not repent, they must suffer even as I, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain. I want to paint a picture for you. Anybody gone to a stadium or anything? seen the magnitude of people. And that's just a small portion. Now think about taking upon yourself all the sins of those people in that stadium at one point in time. That's just in that stadium, brothers and sisters. He covered the sins of all mankind from the beginning to the end. That is the majesty and the might and the power of God, the Almighty, the Great I Am. I've often lately realized that I am not ready to stand in the presence of even the Christ. I've often compared myself to the woman who went in and was washing his feet with her tears. And they complained about her and said, "Why do you let her do this?" And he said simply, "Who do you think's going to love me more? Those who I forgive more or those who I forgive less?" And the answer is plain. And I, like this man, spent many years chasing things that I shouldn't have, doing things that I shouldn't have, and wasted. We just sang that hymn, wasted many years. Lord, forgive me. And help me to move forward under your grace, to be able to hold my head up, even a little. In 2 Nephi, I'd like to turn to that, chapter 6, starting at 41. Oh, the greatness and justice of our God, for he executed all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. And I want to stop there just for a minute. When God says something, that's it. You know, a lot of times when we were young, we would hope our parents, when they put us in the corner, and they'd say, "You're going to sit there for an hour." Man, we'd hope maybe a half hour, 20 minutes, our parents would relent and maybe feel sorry for us. Or when God says something, he cannot take back what he said, or he would cease to be God. When he commanded the incense to be burned in a certain way, and the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, sought to do it a different way, what happened? They were killed. David's friend, when he was bringing the ark back to the land, even though it was maybe harmless, thought to steady it and make sure it wouldn't fall over. "It's not for you to touch. Don't touch it." He was struck dead. For those who had the responsibility of the mantle of priesthood, the Levites, there were those who stood against Moses and Aaron and said, "Oh, we can do that too." And the Lord swallowed them up. When he says something, he means it. And I've always said, when God says something, that's the end of it. There is no arguing. We have a responsibility in the latter-day light to go forward and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that is restored in its fullness. I want to share a testimony. I wasn't going to share this, but it keeps coming to my mind, and I want to make it quick. I had an open vision, and it was, I can't explain it. It's something of the Spirit, and the Spirit is hard to explain. I can tell you that. And I was in a place where I was standing in a line. I knew what it was. It was Judgment Day, and I've shared this with a few people, and it was Judgment Day, and we were standing in a line. I knew what was coming. Judgment was coming, and I was in line with a whole bunch of people, and I could see both directions from the throne, right hand, left hand, so I can kind of paint a picture of what I saw. And I remember standing in line, and I was nonchalant, wasn't afraid, wasn't scared, thought I'd done what I had to have done to be able to stand before the Master and be judged. And I remember when I got there, I don't understand this part of it, but I couldn't see his face, but it was just glory. I knew it was him. And I remember he looked to his left at the people on his left hand. And he looked back at me, and nothing was said. Nothing had to be said. Telepathy, whatever you want to call it, the Spirit speaking to my mind, said, "Could you have helped one more?" Luckily, the vision closed at that moment. And I remember, not really taking it all in at that moment. And I don't know where I was at, but I know I walked into a room later on. This was afterwards. And there was a TV playing, and on that TV was the movie Schindler's List. And I walked in on the moment at the very end, where it's over. And he's standing there with those who have survived. And he said, "I could have saved one more with this watch or this car. I could have done more." And the vision opened up into my mind again. I don't know how it happens, but God is not bound by time. And I know he can stop this moment right and show us time and eternity, and we will blink back thinking we're gone for hours. And I don't know how God can do it, but he's God. We have a responsibility that we might not shrink when we stand before the Father, that we've done all that we could do, that we've shared our testimony, that we've been bold in it, because that's one of the requirements of the celestial glory. Is that we have to be bold in our testimony of Jesus Christ. And in verse 42, "But behold the righteousness of the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed on the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, that they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And their joy shall be full forevermore." Why did Jesus go to the cross? For the joy that was set before him. Remember? to dwell with us, to have him, to have us back within his presence. What is the purpose of God? What is his greatest task? Eternal life and salvation of mankind. That's the joy he's seeking. And he wants to share it with us so that we could be with him and not suffer the pains that he described, that if we don't look upon him, we will have to suffer. Every day is a choice. Every day is a day that we can move forward and strive to fight those battles, the battles that are in our face every day. And I say that because we are in a war. Satan desires us, and I have often told people who came to the land of Zion, you are going to the front lines. And there are many people who say they've gotten here and struggles galore, including myself. I had doubts whether I was doing the right thing, coming back. I was comfortable, I'm going to tell you. Had my house set, built, paid off. Everything was kind of the way I wanted it. Had it workable. But the Lord doesn't call us to be comfortable. That comes later. That comes with that joy. Today is a day of probation. I've been in probation before in my younger years, my mother can attest, and father, because of some bad things that I did. And I learned at that time that there's a responsibility in probation. You have to fulfill a requirement to be able to get out of that. It's funny how the Lord uses so many analogies that makes it so simple, especially for sinners like me, to wake up. I'd like to read, there's another reading out of this book. I think most of you know, well, I know some of you stalwarts and history buffs might know where this has come from, but I want to read this to you and then we'll talk about it. We, all of us, have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. And it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. powerful words from a man who gave his life for this country. Written in 1863 by Abraham Lincoln. And if he was saying these things back then, what would they say now? I don't even want to know. They would look at us and say, what have you done? What have you done? It behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power. And we confess our sins before the Lord. That's why we come here today. Because some things are beyond our power, but we have a responsibility to do what we can. In our homes, in our communities, and what we can in our nation. Thomas Jefferson said, I indeed tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. If we read the scriptures and those who have gone before us and the things that were done and the justice that was poured out upon them, I tremble for my nation also. We can't say we don't deserve it. That's why it says when we all stand before God, we'll all say his judgments are just. Nobody will be able to say, but. I don't want to go too long, so I'm going to finish. I had more, but the lateness of the hour. And I want to end on a good note. This is in the book of Jacob, and it's talking about the vineyard of the Lord. Let me make sure I start it where I wanted to here. We'll start in 136. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. And the servant went out and did as the Lord had commanded him and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your might. For behold, this is the last time that I should nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. Anybody feel the hastening period upon us? Seems like time flies so fast, even when I was a little boy. Seemed like it just summer went on forever when we were off for school. And now it's like the blink of an eye. And if ye labor with your might with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labored with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. That is how we're successful, brothers and sisters. I've often said that I've seen as I've grown in the gospel and understanding, we have failed in a lot of things right here. And I think a lot of times we are finally coming to a realization that if we just follow what he says, we'll be successful. Brother Val said something very profound at the reunion. And I want to end on that. May we obey God's perfect will in his perfect way. And success will come. May God bless each and every one of you in your walk. May you endure to the end. Here's my prayer for each and every one of you.
We'll turn our hymnals to 413. And we want to thank you, Brian, for these words that you shared with us this morning. And following this hymn, Brother Val Brotherton will share the benedictory prayer.
We have met in thy name. We have met in thy home. And Father, we have been blessed. We have witnessed the movement of your Spirit today. We have been given counsel that is wise and that has meaning in our lives today. And so, Father, even as we have sung, that we want to be on higher ground, grant that that may be the case. May we not look for the easy way. May we not look for someone else to carry us. But help us, Father, under the power of thy Spirit, to shoulder the load, to make the trek, to climb the heights where the glories of the heavenlies are. Bless us to this end, Father. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, which is the name above all names. We pray in his name, amen.